Thank you, David. I'm not at all sure I'm better at explaining anything than you are, but I'll give it my best shot. And I want to the late Justice Scalia, it's a very simple statement. The words of a statute mean what they say. And Scalia made that statement, actually said it in a case, which I can't remember the name of, but he wrote in a text that he wrote about interpreting laws that he distinguished, and this is what he is most known for. He distinguished between original intent and original meaning. And he was opposed to the search for the original intent, except to the extent that it could be discerned from the meaning. And he emphasized the meaning of the words. And in the context of the Clean Water Act, the one thing Scalia said is that if their statute contains a statement of intent, that's part of the law, and it has just as much force as the rest of the law. In the context of the Clean Water Act, we have Section 101, which is a section that says that the purpose of the law is fishable, swimmable water, and the goal of the law is fishable, swimmable water, and the elimination of discharge of pollutants to the waters of the United States. And I want to make a quick distinction here. That means to the waters of the United States. If you have wastewater that has some pollutants in it and you reuse it in some fashion and don't discharge it, you are not discharging in violation of the Clean Water Act. And if you discharge clean water after removing the pollutants, that's also not a violation, at least not as a general matter. There may be contexts in which there's a reason why it might be. But in general, the intent of the act to achieve zero discharge is just as much in force now as it ever was. And the words mean what they say. Now, I want to talk about the effluent standards, as they're called, or the standards governing discharges from a facility when it applies for a permit. There are two kinds of discharge limits that the Clean Water Act calls for, and it's a stepwise process. Either the permit contains technology-based standards, or if those are insufficient to prevent the degradation of water quality in the receiving water, then the permit has to have water quality-based limits, right? Excuse me, I use the word standards, and it's specifically limits in the context of the permit. It's limits on the concentrations of pollutants in the discharge. Those limits can be based on standards in the act, but the permit limit is what governs the discharge itself. Now, when DEP issued the permit to Nordic, they went through a long, in their final decision in November of 2019, they described at length Nordic's proposed discharge system. And they never actually said, at least I don't remember them saying, that this represented the best available technology or the best technology in use. And they also did not base the limits on what that discharge technology could achieve. Nordic proposed this system and proposed a limit of 23 milligrams per liter for dissolved nitrogen. And dissolved nitrogen is the pollutant of concern to us here. And I'll get to that in a minute. But I want to say that DEP considered the fate of nitrogen in the receiving waters. They spent a great deal of time modeling it and reviewing the models, and they determined that 23 milligrams per liter was too high. And they did what the statute called on them to do. They came up with a water quality-based limit of 21 milligrams per liter, which is only 3% less than 23, but it turns out that it is a significant difference. And There is nothing in the record which tells us how, or tell DEP how Nordic can meet that limit. So DEP ended up finding that this discharge, as it would be, as the applicant said it would be from their system, would cause deleterious, and that's the word they use, but I'm trying to use a non-technical term. It would harm water quality. And the limit that DEP chose was not, according to the record, something that DEP had any evidence that the company could meet. Now, I read that to mean that when the permit is issued, the company can can build its system as it was designed, as it was described in the final decision issuing the permit, and begin discharging as soon as they have production up and running. And to me, they're not going to meet the water quality base limit under those circumstances. So there will be the kind of harm to water quality which DEP predicted. And that leaves me wondering how DEP could possibly have made the determination that water quality wouldn't be harmed. Now, I know what they said. They said they won't be harmed because the permit has a limit of 21 milligrams per liter, and that will protect the water. Now, we also have in Maine something called the site law, the law for protecting sites when they're chosen. And I forget the exact terms of this, the formal name of it. But the site law requires a determination from DEP that there will be no adverse effects to, and it covers air quality and water quality and a lot of other interests. I don't understand how DEP could in one breath say they can't meet this discharge. We have no evidence that they can meet this limit. And if they discharge at a higher amount, higher concentration, there will be harm to water quality, and then make a finding as required by the site law that there won't be harm to water quality. And it's a curious fact that in the site law decision the DEP issued, they don't make that finding. What they do instead is try to incorporate by reference the water discharge permit, which also doesn't make that finding, and in fact tells us that there will be water quality harm. So I am very much at a loss as to how this permit will be upheld when we finally get a decision from the what we call the law court, the Maine SJC. We have a brief in front of them, and we're waiting for a response from the state, two responses, one from the state, one from Nordic. We will have an opportunity to respond to those responses, and then the SJC will grant oral argument, schedule it sometime after those things are filed, and sometime after that, they'll issue a decision. I have no idea how long that process will last, but when I clerked for the SJC, Vincent McCusick was the Chief Justice, and he was determined to reduce the backlog, and we did it. We got the backlog down to a couple of months. As I recall, it may have been more than that, but it was not a year more than a year. And it had been up to 3 years at times. So I will be confident when we get a decision, that when we have oral argument, that we will have a wait of only a few months before we get a decision. So sometime this winter. And we'll see what they do with it. Now, I also want to talk about how technology-based standards are arrived at and what they look like. There are several different terms in both Maine's and EPA's or the federal statute that describe various levels of water quality or technology-based standards. Because of the amount of time that's gone by, the only ones that really matter now are best available technology and new source performance standards, which are for facilities that have never been built or discharges that have never been operated before. Now there is a different standard, which is for, and I'll explain this, that their best available technology is now the standard for toxic pollutants. And there are a large number of toxic pollutants. I believe it's 130 now. And those pollutants are addressed whenever EPA develops a categorical standard that discharges any of them. Here, we're concerned with nitrogen. There are other pollutants in Nordic's proposed discharge, and some of those will be eliminated by Nordic's treatment system. But most of them are, in fact, and as is nitrogen, they're actually nutrients and therefore not toxic pollutants. However, this is a facility that is brand new on a site that has never had anything built on it. It is quintessentially a new source, and it should be subject to a new source performance standard. And that's one of the arguments we make in our appeal. In this permit, DEP did not do that. It didn't even talk about new source performance standards, as I recall. Maybe I missed something. But the standard that they set is something, as I just mentioned, that the technology that will be put in use under this permit can't meet. Now, the way that you identify a technology-based standard is you look at existing, you consider, and that's the word in the statute, existing technology. And even if that word weren't there in their statute, the idea that this technology has to be the best technology necessarily implies that there will be some comparison between the proposed technology and other technology and uses, or treatment technology and uses at other facilities. And we, Upstream Watch, recommended other facilities that DEP should look at. That was filed right at the beginning of the permitting process in December of 2019, I believe. December of 2018. It was before the permitting hearings began and not after the permit was issued. The recommendation made by Upstream in those, that was what's called pre-filed testimony. It was to qualify expert witnesses to testify. EPA, Upstream made the same recommendation repeatedly in comments on draft permits, in a brief that they filed after the completion of the hearing, and again in the fall of 2019, and in comments on the draft water permit. The recommendation was that DEP should consider three companies that are all achieving, are working to achieve, but in fact we're achieving zero discharge. Those companies were a company called Aquamult. I don't know if I have the pronunciation right. It's an Israeli company that, as I understand it, was building new companies in Canada and even in the West, in Nevada, I believe, and working very hard to improve its technology all the time. And there's nothing wrong with their doing that. That's what you would expect them to do. But the fact is that they were in their operating facilities, they were achieving a discharge that doesn't discharge pollutants to fresh water. Now, I'm saying that out of memory, and it's possible I have Aquamove wrong, but I know that the other two companies, Superior Fresh, which is a Midwestern company that discharges treated wastewater as an irrigation source. And that does not go, the pollutants in that discharge do not go to the waters of the United States. And the other company is the best of them, Sustainable Blue, which is located in Nova Scotia. And Upstream supporters have been there. We have, our expert witness has talked to their manager. They have said, and we put this in the record of DEP's hearing, that they could put their technology to use at the scale of the facility that Nordic has proposed and achieved zero discharge. And that's in the record. And it's the only thing on the record that is on the subject of zero discharge, because DEP never responded to any of the comments submitted by upstream. And that is a violation on their part of a requirement that is in EPA's regulations and is identically in DEP's regulations. The exception in that requirement is that they're not required to respond to insignificant. They are required to respond to significant comments. And it is entirely beyond my understanding how they could have claimed or thought that these comments about discharge technology from upstream were insignificant. I don't believe they actually really thought that, but I don't know what they did and I don't know why they did it. The only thing I know is there's nothing in the record in the nature of any response to those comments. We end up with a record that shows the DEP did not consider other technologies in spite of what the statute says they should have done. And they really didn't have a basis of any kind for choosing a technology-based standard. The outcome was that they didn't choose a technology-based standard at all, but they did leave that extensive description of the proposed system in the permit. And the implication is that that's what the permit allows Nordic to build. I don't know what would happen. I don't know what DEP would do if Nordic built something completely different from what the permit describes. I think they might say, all we can enforce in this permit is the 21 milligram per liter water quality based permit limit. If you can do that, you're okay. And I have no idea how they would do that because they never offered us anything. It doesn't mean they couldn't do it. It just means we haven't seen any plan to do it. Now, the one thing I want to conclude in that discussion is that there have been a number of circuit court cases concerning zero discharge as either a requirement in state regulations that are being reviewed by these circuit courts, or in some cases, as a requirement that has been imposed on a given industry. And we cited a number of these cases in our brief, and I just want to quote one of them, which described the zero discharge goal as the guiding star of the Clean Water Act. It should have been a moment of, I don't know, celebration when the comment identifying a company that had achieved zero discharge was received. But I don't know what the DEP actually thought. All I know is they didn't do anything about that comment. I want to add that as it's our information that there are three, and there were four new NPDES permits for agriculture facilities under consideration. And anyone can correct me if I'm wrong. I think that there was one permit proposal that was denied, and I don't think it was by DEP. So I don't know whether DEP still has four or five, but there are a lot of proposals in the works coming down the pike. And I would expect that Nordic's permit would be treated as a model for those new applications. And I would expect to see, if that happens, that they would have the same findings about the alleged best available technology. And I don't know how they're going to justify that, because DEP has already said that would lead to water quality violations. I really don't know how those new permits are going to work. And I think it will take some serious revision of thinking. Now, when I was thinking about all of this and trying to think it through, I know David and I agreed that we didn't want to talk about how the laws could be changed. I have a couple of ideas about that and recommendations, which I'd like to offer. One is that EPA has, under the Clean Water Act, an obligation to regularly review and, if necessary, revise its existing federal categorical standards. It's under Section 304M of the Act, and they have a schedule that, or at least they have a schedule and a plan that identifies several industries that they will review, one of which is agriculture. And that's because in 2004, EPA issued agriculture regulations, federal categorical regulations, which contained no discharge limits. The only standards they created were what's called best management practices. Now, that may have been the state of the knowledge of the industry in 2004, but that was almost 20 years ago. And what we know now tells us it is high time for them to revisit those regulations. And I would suggest as a possible goal of advocacy that we either get EPA to do that or we get Congress to tell them to do it. And Congress could, in fact, tell them to do a review of those of agriculture in light of the goals of the Clean Water Act, implying that if they find that zero discharge technology is in use and could be used, that should be the best available technology. And that would be the federal term. Under the main statute, it would be the best practical treatment. But that's the standard that I would envision and hope to see for the future of aquaculture on the coast of Maine. And I want to emphasize that's what Upstream and its members are advocating. This is not an attempt to stop aquaculture from being developed. It's not even an attempt to stop Nordic from being built. And I think that has always been clear. Upstream has always said that. And I hope that if the word gets around, that that's what this is about, because this is not, and I hope nobody would ever use in reference to what we're doing, the phrase NIMBY. That's not what we're doing. So in conclusion, I have those recommendations. And I want to add that one other thing that could be done in terms of an amendment to Maine statute, the Maine legislature could do this. There should be a rule prohibiting DEP from issuing a water quality-based standard in an NPDES permit without a record showing how the company would meet that standard, meet that limit. And there should be a compliance schedule in the permit which requires them to achieve compliance with that limit within a reasonable amount of time. And the technology should have been shown to the agency. It should be in the record of the permit when it's issued. And there should never be another permit that has a water quality-based limit with no evidence that it can be met. And so I'm going to conclude there. And thank you very much for listening.